Thank you for joining with us for another episode of Morning Briefings here on the Pipeline Intercession for the President and on our podcast. If you have any dreams that you have about the Office of the President, please send them to pip@christiancenterstreetport.com. We're so thankful that you all have joined in with us on this prayer journey, and we look forward to standing with you not only today, but in the days ahead. So with that, we'll go ahead and join today's broadcast as we talk about the news and stand on the wall for this nation and the Office of the President. Good morning, everyone. Zach Arskadin coming to you live from North Carolina. I want to welcome each and every one of you this morning as we continue to stand on the wall, praying and interceding for the Office of the President so that God's will can be done for this nation in regards to the Office of the President as they lead this nation towards a destiny of one of freedom so that we can spread the gospel of the kingdom to the nations. All right. Today, a lot to be aware of. There's good, there's bad, there's crazy. But first, we want to start off in the Word of God. And yesterday, I talked about a little bit about the four watches that we're seeing here in Mark 13. In verse 35, whether the evening, midnight, when the rooster crows, or in the morning, to be on the alert in case that the master should come suddenly and find you asleep. What I say to you all, be on the alert. And we talked a little bit yesterday. I'll kind of summarize this, and then I'll dive in a little bit deeper at another level. Again, the first watch is the evening watch. I'll talk a little bit more about that, the four watches from 6 to 9. The second watch from 9 to midnight, called the midnight watch. The breaking of the day or the cock crowing watch from midnight to 3 a.m. And then also we have the final watch in the morning at 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. And again, just to summarize a little bit, the evening watch is linked with a time of visitation, time of gathering, a time to call upon God, a time to get rid of the anxieties, to release them upon the Lord. Ultimately, I'm going to add this a new one from yesterday's. It's a time that we steal ourselves from the world. Chuck Pierce says this is that releasing of our anxieties, our stresses of the day to the Lord during that period at some point. He suggests take 30 minutes, read some scripture, and then meditate and pray upon God and release that to him. That's just what he's found to be beneficial. And look, you have to find what works for you. There's nothing wrong with what he's suggesting. I've started to do it over the past couple of years, and it's been very beneficial. You know, before, you know, I came up early in my career in the business world. So it's always wake up early in the morning and do it. There's nothing bad with that, but what better way to be in line with the way the order of the day the Lord has it and do it the night before as you enter into that new day at sunset, which is the Hebrew calendar does. And then getting into the midnight watch, it is also another time of visitation. It is talked about yesterday as a time of scattering if you're not able to relieve yourself of those anxieties. And it's really a time when the Lord begins to prepare you to receive many acts of change in the earth. It's that time he wants to, after you've relieved yourself of those anxieties and released them to him, he wants to come and have a visitation with you, which is where we talked about in Matthew yesterday. That's was what would have happened. Jesus would have gotten away from the disciples in the evening and then again in the midnight watch later to receive from the Lord in another time of visitation as well. It's also a time of thanksgiving. There in Psalms, David cries out, he talks about how he would give thanks to the Lord in the evening. And then also in the midnight watch, something I wanted to add from yesterday is that it's can also be a time of intense darkness. You know, we may try to sleep, but ultimately sleep escapes us because we didn't release those anxieties. But ultimately, we need to remember the power of prayer in this watch to relieve us of those anxieties and release them upon the Lord, even during the midnight watch from 9 to midnight. And ultimately, it's a time that God is dealing with our enemies that are trying to keep us from entering into his perfect plan for our lives. So that's why the enemy might try to torment you. If you don't release those anxieties, or he just may torment you even if you release those anxieties, to prevent you from getting in the perfect will of God for your life, for your city, for your state, for your nation. Now we get into a little bit of what I want to talk about today is the cock crowing, the breaking of the new day. Watch. This is also a time at watch where much spiritual activity is occurring. So it intensifies as the day or the night goes on, more so. A lot of spiritual activity during the 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. watch. You will most likely have a lot of your dreams during that time, especially warning dreams from the Lord, dealing with some things in your heart or some things that are going on in the environment spiritually that you're in and around to help guide us, warn us, watch us in the days ahead of what is occurring. And he said, Chuck says, if you're having trouble with doubt, unbelief, and even in direction of your path, then I suggest you do this watch for 21 days, much like Daniel did. And he says, I especially want to suggest this watch if there's a covenant-breaking spirit in the region in which you are a part of. You'll know that by, you'll see a lot of the fruits of covenant-breaking in that as well. In your region and around your region. And also the reason that 21 days is length of time, it's the length of time it took Daniel to break through in prayer and for principality to let go of the revelation that God was releasing to him about the people of his nation, of Israel. So it's a good time to war there with a lot of spiritual battles that are going on in our life. And then the last one, and I'll move on from this, is the morning watch, which establishes protection for God's people that would be established during this time. And a good study for that of a scriptural example of how that plays out is 2 Kings 11, something to go back and study as well. And a time when we need to be ready, awakened, and watched if the Lord were to call. You can also have dreams here about other steps to take in what's to come. Not just warning dreams, but positive dreams about the coming, preparing for the day, the week, the months ahead, as long as we're attentive there. And then one thing Chuck suggests in the book is to ask the Lord to meet you early so you're prepared for the day ahead. This is why you do see a lot of business books and self-development books say, get up early in the morning and prepare for the day. It's in line with the biblical timelines for the day. So there, it's not as if that's necessarily wrong. It's that the Lord says, hey, start before. So you get ahead, you get rid of those anxieties. You start the night before, you start your day. And then when the day comes, you're prepared for it as I give you things through the night. Okay. And so we see those things happening. As the Lord plays out of the reordering your day, of taking back the time, of redeeming the time that whether you've wasted or whatever the case may be, is getting into the plans that God has for your life and for your time for each day, being responsible with the resources and the talents, not just financial resources, but with the resource of time that God has given you. And it's a great study to see how redeeming that God will be. And even as we talked about, if you watched last night's part 3 of Power versus Authority, and if you're in that time, that will of God, you know, like the sons of Issachar, when the timing of something is, you'll know when you have the authority to go in and take back and fight the battles that God has for you to fight and not be caught up in unnecessary wars, spiritual wars, physical wars, etc. So it's a good mind frame to understand is we're in that perfect will of the Lord and that timing of the Lord who give you that authority to say, go. You'll be like, you'll have some superpower and just go and accomplish things that people around you just don't understand. You may not understand it, but you're just being obedient to the Lord and he'll walk you through it. Okay, so I digress. So we're going to dive into the news today. about quite a few topics, per usual. And I want to talk about some victories first. This one's a huge victory. Is we talked about it last week about how the IRS was contemplating using a company called ID.me for facial recognition software in order for you to gain access to your IRS account, or for even your accountant or anybody working on your taxes to gain access to help you do your taxes. And so there was public backlash. People fought back against this, ACLJ, other groups as well. And the IRS is backing down from this, realizing that the American public does not want to have their, number one, private information into the hands of a third party. And also knowing that the IRS has had a bad record of being secure with information, as we saw a couple years ago with the IRS being hacked in situations there, but ultimately they back down. They will shift away from using facial recognition software over the coming weeks to avoid disruptions during tax filing. And if you have, or somebody you know has, they're able to go back starting March 1st and delete their selfies, et cetera, and things, which why we would even try that is just baffling. So victory there, hooray. And another victory is they're starting to see states lift mandates. And even New York 2 days ago said, well, we're going to look at all this stuff. Now saying business mandates, mandates are going to end. I don't know if their vaccine passport is going to end. Not something I'm seeing. But what we are seeing is that not only is New York, but I want to throw this up there, that several states, obviously we know Virginia, not only with the executive order from Governor Youngkin, but also the state legislature is saying enough's enough. They're the ones who are doing they're the ones who were having mask mandates on, who are now doing it correctly. Obviously, Florida and Texas and several other states had not implemented mask mandates and understood, hey, let people choose for themselves to do that. But these are the states who were doing mask mandates and are now lifting them. Obviously, we talked about yesterday, New Jersey, Connecticut, Delaware, and Oregon. Now expected today is Nevada. Illinois is also another one for businesses, but yet still for, I believe, schools. And in some districts in Illinois, schools are not. It's a whole mess in Illinois. And then New York, it's businesses only. They're still deciding on schools, and potentially later in March, basically into the school year, where mask mandates are going to be lifted on schools, Massachusetts and Rhode Island as well. So you're starting to see this. And this comes from, the way I see it is they're looking at what's happening in Canada. The people are not giving up, even though the government is trying every which way to just overreach is the best way to say it. You can't honk. You can't have gas cans with gas in it. You can't do this. You can't do that. You can't breathe the air. We're trying to arrest you. Yet still, no city's being burned down. If somebody is trying to do something, it's the people who are mad at them, who are getting aggressive, running them over, fighting them, et cetera, trying to incite violence from them. But these guys are being a lot of them are being very, very smart. And then there's a whole issue with GoFundMe and all that stuff. So point all this out to see the tide is turning. People are starting to realize this is going on around the world. Canada, even in some provinces, are lifting the mandates because they're realizing, oh, we need to get back to this, or we need to end this stuff. And so this leads into this next story around the fact that now, under pressure, the Biden administration weighs new responses. Basically, as the Omicron variant dwindles down, they're going to now decide or start deciding on what they want to do. We want to pray it is ultimately for the tyrannical overreaches to end, but also for the Biden administration to have the fear of the Lord when deciding future plans for this nation on the virus response. I pray, I would suggest this. If we're going to pray for, you know, something to be pulled out and plugged back in, I pray they have the wisdom that Obama had in 2010 with the swine flu virus, where he said, when presented by Fauci and other doctors, the same situation President Trump was presented with, and saying, no, we're not going to shut down the economy. We're not going to shut down because it would do more harm to people's well-being, the economy, et cetera, and we're not going to do this. I pray they have that wisdom, because these are the same people who were in those positions then as who are there now. In removing these tyrannical overreach mandates at the federal level, at the state level, because the issue here is the Biden administration, while you're seeing all these blue states in these mass mandates at the state level, meanwhile, a lot of them are leaving it in at the local levels and superintendents and for local counties to are still continuing to have mask mandates on. So you're seeing where your local officials lie in a lot of those areas. They're still saying with what the CDC is saying is, look, you just need to go forward with it. You need to keep wearing your mask, keep doing this. And look, that's a personal choice. If the CDC wants to suggest that, they're perfectly fine. Again, at the end of the day, every American has to decide. And what we're seeing now, this is, I think, alarming and shows a lot of what is going on. If you remember back at the beginning of all this COVID craziness that started, we had prophetic that the spirit behind this was a spirit of mammon, spirit of greed. And we're seeing that play out right before our very eyes, continuing as states are lifting mask mandates, as we're seeing the Omicron variant die off, create natural immunity at a higher level. Cases are dwindling, hospitalizations are dwindling, even though deaths are rising for those who are vaccinated. There's a host of issues. Now, there are upward of 10 million doses that will quickly be rolled out if approved for vaccination for young children is recommended. And one thing to point out, and this is from the Washington Post, the CDC and has told coronavirus vaccine providers to be ready to receive shots for children younger than 5 by February 21st, just a week after the Food and Drug Administration is expected to make its recommendation on emergency use authorization. If the vaccine is given the green light, an initial 10 million doses should be expected. And Epoch Times has a better article saying that Pfizer is being told by the administration and officials that they should plan their ordering strategies now and identify priority locations to vaccinate children ages 6 months to 4 years. So this is the battle going on. This is where you want them to have the wisdom and the fear of the Holy Spirit. Because there's two things going on at one time. States are lifting it, saying this is not that big of a deal, while also pharmaceutical companies are getting prepared to release another round of vaccines on children as young as 6 months to 5 years old. And we want to heed this warning. And hopefully Fauci and those who are in these positions can have some humility and look at the realities of what are going on and see what is best for those that they have the authority, power more so, natural power, to help deal with this situation. And at the end of the day, is they're going to have to answer to God for the decisions that they're making, but we're going to sit here and pray that they make the proper decisions and having the fear and wisdom of the Holy Spirit. Now, this leads into news that just got reported this morning that year over year, inflation has jumped 7.5%. That was just released this morning from the labor market. An annual rate of 7.5%, a 40-year high. Obviously, if they were to actually account for, let me say this, if they were to measure the CPI, which is where they're getting this number from, to the same CPI of 40 years ago, it would be a lot higher. But they're comparing it year over year, which is kind of funny because the White House, even yesterday, I want to point this out, they expected it to jump by 7.3%. And they were saying, we need to look month to month, not year to year. The reason you look month to month is because it's not as shocking. It's a smaller jumping. Whereas if you look year to year, it's quite large. And when we go back and look at the analysis done by the Wall Street Journal, they show that the CPI rose 0.6% in January, which is a half of a percentage point, which is huge. And the fact that economists were expecting 7.3 and ended up being 7.5 shows that they don't have a full grasp of the market, which a lot of economists don't really fully understand it. They can know trends. So they understood it was going up, but not by how much. It shows it's running faster than they realize. So there's this issue with what's going on with everything, with the mandates and things, which is why we want to pray for the Biden administration to remove the tyrannical government overreaches and allow the economy and allow decisions of people, like the Supreme Court said, let them make their own decisions. Because it's an issue that is pervasive to everybody. Everybody has to assess their own risks to it, because it is a disease or virus that affects people, everyone differently, depending on your health status. So something for you to take into consideration, as well as how to deal with it individually. Now, I say the inflation numbers because some very alarming news has started to come out of, and I'll get to why it's alarming. The negotiators for the funding of the government, the Senate Appropriations Committee, the top four people negotiating said they have come to a framework on how to fund the government for the rest of the year, basically until October 1st, rather than do continuing resolutions. What the alarming situation here is that there is no talk and no release of information around what is in these breakthrough negotiations. They're saying we finally put something together of that will get passed. Chuck Schumer's happy with it. Mitch McConnell's happy with it. The four negotiators who are a part of this are Senators Richard Shelby of Alabama, the senior Republican, Committee Chair Patrick Leahy, Democrat from Vermont, House Appropriations Committee Chair Rosa DeLauro from Connecticut, Democrat, and Representative Kay Granger from Texas, the ranking Republican on the House panel, said they have reached an understanding on the framework, which lets us go to the next step. Ultimately, they want to move along. They want to get something passed because they don't want to do a continuing resolution. As of right now, there's something on the books to fund the government till March 11th, but this is to continue it on further. Still, no mention. I can't find it. Maybe it's too early to tell in the day, but no mention of what's in this packages. They obviously, this is part of a negotiation strategy. They want to kind of keep it behind closed doors, don't let the public see it, blah, blah, blah. But hey, this might mean potentially higher taxes, continuation of growing national debt. So this stuff needs to be out there. So we want to pray during these negotiations, during this time, that the Senate leaders who are negotiating, that they have the wisdom and revelation when voting for government funding, moving forward these negotiations, and so that we can get back to a place of incentivizing people to work rather than funding them to stay at home and not work, and a host of other issues there as well, more so for the prosperity of our nation, so that we can be a nation that actually has the ability economically to go and spread the gospel of the kingdom to the nations. We've been extremely prosperous up until this point, and this will be the only thing that will hinder us from doing that in the long run. Another issue we want to pay attention to is I haven't talked about it much because I'm trying to see what's actually coming of this, is the idea of putting a ban in place to prevent lawmakers and legislatures from trading stocks, not only for them, their family, and anybody associated with them, because they have insider information, because they sit on panels, their testimonies. Even part of the bill that Nancy Pelosi is pushing for is asking for a federal judiciary to be a part of that, because they hear cases involving certain companies and stuff for preventing them from basically insider trading. And so she says, Nancy Pelosi, read this Reuters article. She goes through and says, yes, it's okay, let's do it on the individual. But what's getting pushed back is the fact that there are some Republicans and Democrats saying, how far does this go? Does this include family members, business associates from their former private life, et cetera, because it needs to include them from being able to make certain trades? There are certain rules now, but there's ways to get around it, which is why you see Nancy Pelosi's husband making the trades, or even in Rand Paul's case, the investments being made in his wife's name. And so you have some Republicans and Democrats not happy with that, because they're saying, well, it'll disincentivize people from wanting to be legislators and lawmakers. And I sit there and I say, good. And so did the founding fathers. The goal for a leader for this nation was not somebody to be able to make money off of this and off of the position that they're in and to stay in it long term. You should do it because you want to serve this nation and the people that are in it, for not only for freedoms, but for the continual generational blessing of a blessing that your children's children. Biblical mandate, and not necessarily doing it for personal gain. And so this would be a good thing if put forward, that would incentivize people who actually want to be there to be there, who really, really want to serve. You could also have some dire people who want power, but it'll be more easy to see that if this, something like this, were to pass forward. So we want to intercede for the congressional leaders to have wisdom and revelation when writing the stock trading ban for lawmakers, because they're still writing this bill. And what it looks like from Pelosi's standpoint of view is she's like, sure, let it go forward, because it'll probably die in committee, even though she's one of the biggest perpetrators of it looks like, based upon all the evidence out there. And that's why she's not pushing back on it. For her to push back on it would cause for people to investigate and look at her and try to really expose everything that's already out there anyways. You look at Harry Reid, how do you come in an average Joe and then end up leaving with a millionaire owning swaths of real estate afterwards, based upon being in the Senate? Just as well as Bernie Sanders. How does Bernie Sanders gain offices every time? He gains a new house every time he runs for president, which is very interesting. And then last thing, this is huge. Something that is not really being talked about a lot is that the U.S. Court of Appeals has decided not to reinstate Biden's vaccine mandate, emergency use order authorization for federal employees. And this has been appealed, and it looks like it's going to the Supreme Court. So this is a golden court case we want to pray for federal employees, but then also for a re-adjudication of the mandate that was allowed on healthcare workers. This could potentially overturn that if someone were to have a better case and present it before the Supreme Court or challenge it again, or maybe start a new case to revoke that emergency use authorization for healthcare workers, showing that the Biden administration does not have the right to decide personal health decisions. And part of this ruling of why it was knocked down was because of the Supreme Court case on private businesses. And in this case, it was about the conduct of an individual, and what the Biden administration tried to tie to was, if you work for the federal government, then the conduct that you are required to take the vaccine is because you work for the federal government. But the pushback from federal employees was that this is not a business conduct. This is not work conduct, which is the only authority that you would necessarily have, not personal health conduct. And so we want to intercede on this golden court case on the jab mandate, that being that the court would stand with freedom and authority from the Lord, and for individuals to make their own decisions, and in order to repeal the federal mandate on employees, for them to be able to make their own decisions, just like that of the private businesses, and rule in accordance with that. So this is good news, pushing back, standing up, being watchful to what not only this administration is doing, but what previous administrations have done, and looking at the natural landscape of what's happening around the world, and realizing that other nations are all in line with this continued government overreach. And you're seeing some nations pull back and saying, we don't need to do this. Boris Johnson is talking about even ending the vaccine passport mask mandates, everything earlier, which is a good thing. And so I digress with that. And I want to end on that because I think it's a good stopping point of just a positive of seeing that the people understand their authority and understand the correct alignment that the government has. Like there are some decisions that the government should have to get in if the risks call for it. But in this case, the risks don't call for it, and there's no legal or natural authority for the government to do this, of this continued government overreach because of a pie in the sky. I go back to, again, even Obama, when presented with the swine flu in 2010, did not do the things that are being done now. I don't agree with everything Obama did, but that was one of the correct decisions he made in his time when he was in office, to make sure that you don't put your economy, 7.5% inflation, 40-year high, which is probably lower than it really is. If you look at how the CPI was measured back in the 70s, 80s versus what it is now, it's a time to continue to stand, continue to appeal to heaven, as we're all doing now and in the season ahead, to fight back for God's authority in this nation, to repent for the sins of this nation, so that we can reach the destiny of spreading the gospel of the kingdom to the nations. With that, I bless you, and I will see you guys tomorrow. Have a good one.